Welcome to One Little Coder podcast. This is your host, Abdul Majid. In this podcast, we talk to open source developers, programmers, community organizers to understand how they do and what they do. Let us get started with our episode.
Welcome, Gaurav, to the One Little Coder podcast. Gaurav is the developer of INLTK library, which provides out-of-box support for various NLP tasks for Indic languages. And if you see this library on GitHub, so you would see that it has got more than 30,000 downloads and 400 plus stars. So welcome, Gaurav. Could you please introduce yourself and let us know, like, what do you do?
Thank you. So I'm working as a machine learning engineer at Haptic. Haptic is a conversational AI company. I've been working on challenging NLP problems here. And I mean, in addition to that, I've also been working hard on, I mean, this open source project of mine, which is INLTK.
Before we get into the open source project that you have started, so Haptic, as we all know, it's a conversational platform. So what kind of things that you help the company build, or if that is something that you can share?
Yeah, sure. We have a platform which is like Dialogflow. So our team powers the NLU engine for that platform. And I mean, we work on variety of tasks which are core to the any conversational AI platform, like intent detection, NER, or textual entailment, or I mean, the graph structure through which the conversation flows. So these are multiple things which I mean we work on. And then I mean, like in any machine learning project or solution, there, I mean, we face a lot of challenges which we have to overcome, or like, I mean, have data scarcity, then supporting bots in languages other than English, which is again very difficult. Then having, I mean, the cost of false positives is also very high in business. These are some of the challenges which we face and try to overcome on day-to-day basis.
Thank you for explaining us. And coming to INLTK library, so first of all, how did you get this idea to create an NLP library for Indian languages?
This library actually grew organically. I never thought I'll end up building something which will be, I mean, which will have support for, let's say, 15 languages. I started with Hindi. I thought I'll do something in NLP for Indic languages, because I mean, not many people were doing work for NLP in Indic languages. So I just started with Hindi. I thought I'll build maybe something which will be useful for maybe 10 people. I started with this in 2018. I did it for Hindi, then I did it for Punjabi, then I mean, once I had it for two languages, then I saw somewhere that people were appreciating it, and I thought that there is this need to have something or a library which can provide out of the box support to developers who don't have much idea about machine learning and can do machine learning related tasks in a simple manner, especially for Indic languages. So that's when I decided that, I mean, if I've done it for two languages, let's do it for maybe 5-6 more languages, and then we'll see from there. So initial, I mean, the first release which happened for INLTK had around 9 languages, and 3-4, I mean, basic tasks were supported in that first release. The other things actually grew organically. While I was, I mean, working on problems at Haptic, I figured out that maybe if I can provide, let's say, data augmentation or sentence similarity or sentence encodings, these kinds of things, also through my library, it will be very helpful for developers who are maybe not that, I mean, who are not equipped or who are not, I mean, comfortable with building machine learning models from scratch, especially for Indic languages. So that's how, I mean, it grew. I never thought that I never started with the vision that I'll end up building something like this. It grew organically.
Okay, and could you just give us a timeline before you released it or before you made the repo public? So how long you worked on it before you initially released it?
So I started working on it in October 2018. I started first with the models for Hindi and then for Punjabi, because these were the two languages which I was most comfortable with. Then, I mean, these two languages, I had done a bunch of work by the end of January. Then I gave it a break for 1 month. And then again, I picked it up, worked on the other languages in March. I had some free time in March last year. And then, I mean, by the end of March, I released the first version with 8 or 9 languages. The first version had, it had few basic functionalities. INLTK, I mean, in today's date, has lots of other functionalities, which, I mean, I ended up developing later last year.
Okay, and when you started with the first, let's say, the first version of repo for Hindi and Punjabi, so what kind of NLP functionalities were available? Was it like tokenization, or you had like more than that?
So, I mean, if I remember, in the first version, I guess word embeddings, then getting tokenization, the simple things, and then embedding vectors, identifying which language it is, then removing the foreign tokens in a string, and then predicting next n words for a sentence. These were a few functionalities which were available in the first release.
Okay. And I think one of the challenges for someone who wants to work in language other than English is, first of all, data itself. So how did you, you know, overcome that challenge, or was it easily available for you when you were looking online?
No, yeah. I mean, this is a big challenge for anyone working in, I mean, languages other than English, as you said. So, I mean, I trained language models the data was, I mean, good enough available from Wikipedia. So for language models, I used mostly the data from Wikipedia from each one of these languages, for each one of these languages. But for the classification tasks and other models, data was not actually available. So what I ended up doing was, for Hindi, Niranth had worked on a data set for classification, which he had scraped from BBC news website. From there, I got this idea that, I mean, if we can do this, if we can prepare this data set for classification from a Hindi news website, why can't we do it for other languages from their news websites? So I literally ended up writing scripts to scrape websites in each one of these languages. From there, I ended up preparing dataset, and I have made all the datasets available on Kaggle, the links to which are there on the GitHub repo.
So Hindi and Punjabi were something that you are familiar with, and how did this expansion to other languages happen?
The other few languages like Gujarati and Nepali are similar in some sense to Hindi, so I was able to figure them out. The other languages like Telugu and Kannad, these were languages which I was not able to read. To figure things out for these languages, I ended up using Google Translate a lot of times at a lot of places. That's how, I mean, I went about it.
But it was all you yourself expanding it to individual languages, or you got some support from other developers?
For Tamil language and Urdu, once INLTK had its first release, a couple of developers from the community reached out to me. They wanted to contribute. So for Tamil and Urdu, I had a couple of people who ended up, I mean, helping out to integrate those languages into the INLTK library.
Okay. And Indic NLP is something that is, again, very niche. And we still see a lot of papers where people do not release their data set. And we still see a lot of papers where people claim about their model, but those models are not available anywhere on internet. So what motivated you to, you know, make the data set available on Kaggle or put your entire pre-trained models on GitHub, making it like an INLTK library?
Honestly speaking, I never thought about, I mean, keeping it to myself. The first thought with which I had started, I mean, that Hindi project also was to, I mean, build something which can help maybe 10 people. So that was my vision. I mean, I thought I'll get maybe at max 10 stars and I mean, it will be useful for someone. But as the library grew and as I got a lot of appreciation from the community, it only motivated me to contribute back more. I mean, I had no incentive or to keep it to myself or, I mean, other things. I always wanted to make it open source. I myself have been using a lot of libraries, tools, which are open source. So I wanted to contribute back to the community. And I mean, this was one small effort.
Oh, that's great. And yeah, I could also see that you have used ULMM Fit. And also on the GitHub page, you have also mentioned that it was tweeted by Jeremy Howard and Sebastian Ruder. So how did it feel to get mentions from people who are like, you know, godfathers in this domain?
So it was actually magical. So, I mean, the reason it was magical for me, for at least for the first time when it happened, was because, I mean, like most of the other projects, I mean, which I had done previously before INLTK, I mean, those projects ended up being used by no one. So I thought maybe INLTK will also not reach up to this level, or I mean, will not be used by many people. But when Jeremy Howard appreciated it, the library got a lot of eyeballs from people around the world. And it got a lot of appreciation. So, I mean, it made me very happy. This was my second project, which ended up getting some eyeballs from people. The first one was code with AI. But yeah, I mean, it felt very good. And in turn, it motivated me to do, I mean, more.
Okay. So you've also mentioned that a lot of previous projects did not take off. So could you just... like, tell us, like, what kind of projects you tried before and, like, what happened with that?
So, I mean, one project which took off before this INLTK library was Code with AI. So, this was a simple tool which at the back end used a classification algorithm to predict. I mean, I used to do a lot of competitive programming at that time. So it was a tool which used to predict which competitive programming concept you will need to solve a particular problem. So this was one tool which was the first tool which took off for me. The other projects which I worked on were, I mean, a lot of projects. So I tried to do something. So the name of one was Hair to Care. This was a website or a tool which was to help people. To help the needy people and collaborate. The one other tool was thing which I did was Research Shala. So this was to connect university professors with students so that they can get internships and do work remotely for professors. Then a couple of small projects as well. Like, we tried building something, this was in college, we tried building a toy autonomous car. Few things.
Okay, so what was the motivation or intuition behind, you know, building these side projects, apart from probably, like, maybe your studies or your job?
I've always wanted to do something which motivates me outside of my daily work. Whether I'm in college or I'm in my job. Obviously, work also motivates you. But I mean, coding has always been that passionate thing for me. And I've tried to, always build something which can be of some help to other people. So, hair to care was one thing which I thought will be helpful for needy people. Then through Research Shala, we were trying to help students who cannot get internship with good professors. With INLTK, I ended up helping developers who are not that equipped with NLP or for Indic languages and want to do something for the Indian audience.
And like you said, a lot of open source projects, end up on GitHub with probably 4 stars, 5 star. But your project again took off because of a lot of reasons. How do you think, the first initial traction started up? I think you mentioned about the tweet by Jeremy Howard, but then how did Jeremy Howard get to know about it? So you're trying to really push it or how did this happen?
No, I never really tried to push it actually. So last year I was a FastAI International Fellow. So FastAI is the course which is run by Jeremy Howard. I was an international fellow for that course. I'm not sure if that forum post is public or private, but there is a forum post there where people usually post the kind of projects which they built. I also ended up posting my project there, and Jeremy Howard saw this project from that forum post, and then he himself tweeted it over Twitter. Once he tweeted it, a lot of people got to know about it, and then it got retweeted, got a lot of appreciation. Then a lot of people shared it on LinkedIn, Reddit, etc. And then, a lot of people were talking about it.
Okay, great. So that's a good coincidence that you had posted it on forum and then Jeremy happened to see that. Okay,
yeah, so now, I consider myself lucky for that.
Okay, that's great. And I think now we just discussed about FastAI and you also have used ULMFit in this project. So if someone today, probably 2020, wants to kickstart a project, something like what you have done, let's say there is a language and they want to, do some NLP for that particular language and they don't have any understanding. They're like a normal Python programmer. So what all things that you would suggest that they should know, before even get started with such a project?
It's important to know basics. So, the first and foremost thing to do anything is to have strong programming fundamentals. If one thinks that's already there, and then he wants to get into machine learning, then there's a lot of advice over there on the internet. My two favorites are Andrew Ng's deeplearning.ai, this is particularly for deep learning, and FastAI by Jeremy Howard. So I think these two courses give you a lot of your fundamentals right, and then you can deep dive in as much as possible, as much you want. These two could be the starting points for your deep learning journey. And then, it's all about getting your hands dirty. Build whatever you want. You will face a lot of errors. You'll face, a lot of issues, which are specific to machine learning or building deep learning models. But you'll learn. Practice and doing it again and again is the only thing that works, and never giving up.
Okay, yeah, that's I think the most important thing that you mentioned the last, right? Never giving up. And having an open source project is one thing, and then maintaining that is an entirely different game altogether. So even for a very trivial thing, someone could raise an issue. And then sometimes people also get very emotional that, I've raised this issue, and then you as a maintainer are not responding to it. So did you happen to have any such case, or how do you actually manage or maintain this project?
So, if there is an issue with the library, with what it is supposed to do and it is not doing, I have to resolve it at that particular moment, because I mean that's what I promised with this library, and I end up taking it personally. Why is it not working? So that's why I end up fixing it within a day or two. But otherwise, I get a lot of feature requests or new things which people think will be very useful if they can be provided with the library. That I try to manage with the bandwidth I have. So for the past 3-4 months, I've been pretty busy and with my office work. So I've not had much bandwidth. So a lot of feature requests are still there. But especially for feature requests, I take them based on, how much time I have. A couple of people have reached out to me who, are trying to contribute. So let's see how that goes. But that's
That was probably like the next question. So when I see the contribution section, I see, I think probably like 3 people or something there for the recent period, last 1 year or something. So are you expecting more people to become contributors to this? Are you hoping for you yourself, just handling this? So what is your vision with this project?
So I would love to have people, who can contribute to this project. I'm not sure why, not many people end up contributing. But, the number of people who reach out to me that they want to do something is very high. If you look at the ratio, maybe it's 1:50. 50 people reach out to me, but only one of them actually ends up contributing. I'm not sure where this gap is. So lot of people from colleges reach out, I've seen lot of people who end up giving up in the middle after doing some work. I would love to have people who can contribute. I've at least to the best of my ability, I've been very helpful to the people who have reached out to me. And I'll always try to be that way. There are a lot of problems in INDIC NLP space which are untouched, and people who are looking for opportunities to do something can stand out and want to contribute. The space is there, the opportunity is there, and I'll be very happy to help out or mentor those people if they want to do something. Yeah.
It's great. I understand that you are actually open for more contributors. So what it takes to be a contributor, do you want improvement in documentation, or do you want to add more languages? So what kind of improvements or contribution are you actually looking for?
So I'm looking at how can we make more impact with this library. And the number one thing which comes to my mind is adding more features. So there are a lot of things which are yet to be done for INDIC languages, like NER or POS tags, or let's say textual entailment. So these are core important things in NLP which should be there for any language if you want to do if you want to build a tool or if you want to build a product in that language using NLP. So these 3-4 things, NER, POS tags, textual entailment, I would love to have contributors for. People who can build out, who have some machine learning experience or want to, or can learn and then contribute. These are 3-4 main things which I'm looking for.
Okay, and how can they start with? So they can just, because not everyone can directly start with a peer, right? So they have to just start somewhere one step before peer so that you can collaborate with them. So do you have any such space for collaboration for this particular project, something like a Slack channel, or someone can just come on GitHub and then raise an issue? How does it happen?
So the way people in the past have done it, for languages, I'm open to both the things. So people some few people end up raising an issue and then all of the conversation happens over there. Few people, so there is one Gitter channel as well for INLTK. Few people end up for more, to and fro conversations. Those can happen there. These are two, main channels which I have been interacting with people.
Okay, so it's either a GitHub issue or the Gitter channel where they can communicate and express interest and to know what they can do or contribute.
Yeah, and then we can take it from there. So from the on the GitHub readme, I have listed down a few of these things which I want should be there in the library, and anyone can pick any one of those things. Start, look, if there is already an issue, then read which all things have happened before and then take it from there, or start a new issue or a feature, then we'll take it from there.
Okay, so that is good. So that's, I think, those who are listening, if they want to contribute to this thing, so they can look at the GitHub page, and then I think you have mentioned the what's next section.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they can pick up from there. Okay. The other thing that I wanted to ask is, if leaving out this MLA stuff aside, so if someone is interested in doing something to open source, like you just said, right? We as professionals, in a lot of cases, we end up using a heck lot of open source libraries. But the amount of contribution that we give back to the community is very less. In most cases, people do not do anything at all. So what do you have any tips or advice for people who are like someone like college student or a new professional in this industry and they want to do some open source contribution? So what do you suggest for them?
So, this is purely my experience, but what I felt is this kind of a thing actually lacks in India. Lacks quite a lot in India. And the first and foremost thing with which we will need to start with is to start appreciating open source projects. By appreciation is, simple things like, go and star the projects which you have been using every day, maybe. Star those projects, then, let's say you want to build something. If you're just starting with it, then the first few, if you're a college student, the platforms like Google Summer of Code or Outreachy, these are great platforms for students in colleges to have open source experience. If you're in industry, you should be promoting open source culture in your team and in your company. If you can do that, additionally, you should be trying to solve problems and making solutions for them public, which then can be used by other developers.
Okay, that's a good point. So people can start. I think the motivation should start coming from colleges itself, right? So students, like you said, they look at GitHub as a place where they can find code and then use it in their project. That's the mentality.
Yeah, right.
Among working professionals, so they're still trying to find some library to get things done rather than just even raising a simple issue. Okay.
Yeah, I guess appreciation is a very important part of it. If we ourselves will start appreciating the open source projects which we are using, we'll end up, maybe if we want to do something, we'll end up building something open source ourselves as well.
Okay, so you're saying that first we should have that, gratitude to at least first basically star the repo that we are using. Because someone has made it and put it outside, so at least let's show the appreciation like that.
Yeah, because open source developers actually aren't getting anything else for it.
Yeah, so that is probably my next question now. So, like you just said, right? So it's something that you are building out of your free time. Maybe in future you might put a donate page or something, but like let's say at this point there is nothing, you are not getting anything literally out of it. So how do you keep yourself motivated to continue working on this thing?
Yeah, the answer to this, I mean, will come from my previous answer is appreciation. I mean, I've seen people who have appreciated me a lot. Not only on Twitter, like Jeremy Howard or Sebastian Ruder, but I mean, normal people on LinkedIn, they just DM me that they've been using it for this XYZ project of theirs and it's working amazingly well. And I mean, that's the kind of appreciation you are looking for when you are a developer, when you are a coder. And I mean, that's literally it what motivates me to keep going. I mean, I have a lot of new ideas which I want to build into INLTK, and I mean, appreciation is what keeps me going.
Great. So it's purely to start with, very simply, the GitHub star or folks or the responses that people can get to you saying that, yeah, I'm using this project and this is helping me, something like that, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it feels good to have, I mean, to build something which so many people are using and, I mean, are appreciating you for.
Yeah, definitely, right? We are all human beings, and when we create something and put out something online and we want people to use it, that's the only reason we spend our nights and, you know, weekends to build something. And
yeah,
so
right.
It's always good to know that people are using it. Okay. My next question is probably out of all this entire context. So what are some of your favorite open source projects that probably you have used or you have aspired?
So, I mean, few open source projects which I have loved. One is FastAI. Oh, the library is amazing. Then PyTorch. Oh, I mean, the deep learning framework on top of which FastAI is built. I have always loved using PyTorch. Then, AI and ML community as a whole, I mean, a lot of work happens, I mean, open source. So people open source a lot of their work and that's how the community is growing. So, I mean, that's the best thing which I like in this community. And I mean, literally, I mean, every other day, some or the other repository comes up, which ends up teaching you a lot of other things. So one other favorite which comes to my mind is NLP-Aug. So this is one augmentation library which was built for English data augmentation. And I mean, is again, great. That was one motivation for me to, add data augmentation in INLTK as well. So, I mean, these open source projects end up inspiring me and then I end up building something, I mean, to have similar impact.
Great. So I think FastAI is like becoming the favorite project of the entire deep learning community, I would say. in fact, like the amazing work that Jeremy Howard and Rachel Thomas are doing for free. It's something that is all inspiration for all of us. Okay.
And that also helps you. I mean, that also motivates you to pay it forward with whatever work you do.
We get to constantly see people who are doing something for free. And then, you know, then we have this now intuition that we should also probably do something to the community from our side.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And what are other ways other than INLTK, do you have any other projects in mind that you are planning to kickstart with respect to open source, or your current focus is only INLTK?
So I'm planning to add quite a few things to INLTK only for now. No other new project I have plans to bootstrap. I'm planning to add transformers to INLTK. Then, these 3-4 things, NER, pass tags, textual entailment, these features also I want to be available out of the box for Indic languages through the INLTK library. So these 3-4 things I really want to do thinking about anything else. Yeah.
So the focus is still INLTK, and then you want to add features like transformers and the other things that you just mentioned. I think I even just saw a GitHub issue asking Are you planning to integrate it with Hugging Face?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's another good thing, right? So if you want ideas, people are just ready to give you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's what I mean said. A lot of people have come to me with a lot of things and a lot of features which they would like to have in the library, and that helps you with the ideas with what can be helpful for the community.
Okay. Great. I think we are on top of our time. In general, someone wants to start with machine learning, you already, I think, mentioned Andrew Ng's course and deep learning from FastAI.
Deep learning.ai from Andrew Ng and FastAI.
So these are the two courses that you're suggesting. So another thing that you just mentioned, I think, some time back is that you were doing a lot of competitive programming. And just from an outsider's perspective, there is a constant argument in any community if you pick up, right? There are competitive argument versus competitive programming versus just normal, side projects like this. In our community, if you see deep learning Kaggle or a machine learning community, Kaggle versus, projects, all these stuff. So what is your opinion about, this kind of thought?
So I guess for both the things, the argument is similar. I mean, if you look at Kaggle versus industry projects or competitive programming versus complete projects, the thing is competitive programming will teach you one very important part of the, big picture of solving any of any project. Big picture of any project is problem solving. Competitive programming, empowers you to solve problems with the right amount of time and space. Complexity teaches you the right tools or, right techniques through which you can solve the problems. And I guess that helped me a lot. So competitive programming helped me in building my programming fundamentals and, made my programming strong. Then, if you look at Kaggle again helps you with model building, which is one very important part of the whole big picture of solving any machine learning problem. Obviously, in industry, there are a lot of other things in addition to just modeling, which is, you have to collect the data, you have to prepare the test set, you have to, take the model to production, lot of these things. But modeling is still one very important part. So, you need to have strong programming fundamentals. Competitive programming helps you a lot with it. Unless you have those, you will never be able to do good things. It is very difficult to do good things. Competitive programming is just one way to, get your problem solving ability right. There can be multiple other ways. So I'm not saying that, everyone should do competitive programming. But, that is competitive programming provides you the platform to solve a lot of problems and learn a lot of new techniques and, build your programming fundamentals. That's how it helped me.
Great. So your opinion in this is that you are a living example that competitive programming has made you a better programmer and that has helped you doing good projects. So
yes,
that
absolutely.
Helps in the foundation and that is great. So thank you so much, Gaurav, for giving us your time. And I hope through this interview and then when we publish it, more people get to know about INLTK they would volunteer to contribute and also to appreciate your work. So thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.